This is the Republic Review podcast, where many topics and the latest news are presented each episode through a casual and respectful discussion.
Hello there, fellas. I am Remy, and I'm here with my co-host, Alex. Today, we'll be discussing the topic of gun violence. Of course, we'll also be touching on gun control and the Second Amendment while we're talking about this current issue.
So this is a big debate. And if you follow myself, Alexander Ward, or Republic Review on Twitter, you may have seen a few tweets about this over the last week. We are going to dive into a discussion about gun violence here in a few minutes. But first, Remy, have you seen anything online, any headlines that have caught your attention?
Oh, yes, actually. I've been seeing a few articles on it about a supposed leaked draft on the Trump executive order.
Mm-hmm.
In which case it will censor the internet. They're using a similar argument towards what they're using for the video games in Walmart. For anyone who doesn't know, there was a mass shooting a few weeks ago, in which case they're starting to say violent-based media, violent-based video games are causing these shootings. The executive order is to censor websites such as Twitter and Facebook and CNN, in order to prevent fake news, in order to prevent violent posts and all of that. But there is a big problem with this. Many, including myself, so I am biased, believe this actually censors the First Amendment.
Hmm.
Honestly, if the right does control this, absolutely, or honestly, any government official controls this, they can censor whatever the other side says. Like, Trump doesn't like it that I'm saying he's not a very good president. Well, he can just delete all of my posts. He can completely ban me from the internet. This is what this, he can delete Twitter. this is what this executive order will allow. I'm pretty sure most people aren't going to agree to this. Now, that being said, the entirety of the executive order wasn't released. It was just the draft, so it could be a bit different. But as of right now, I personally think this is going against our First Amendment. Did I say Second Amendment earlier?
Well, we'll be talking about the Second Amendment in a little bit.
If I said Second Amendment, I meant First Amendment. We're talking about the Second Amendment today, so
yeah.
What do you think?
If it's going to be an executive order in this draft, is this considered to be an accurate draft? That's the one thing I'm wondering about is how did this draft get like released essentially?
Let me look at that a bit more. Apparently the FCC released it early.
Mm.
Yeah. Apparently the FCC released it early online. I don't know why they're calling it leaks, because technically that's not a leak.
Mm, yeah.
But with Ajit Pai released it online from the FCC's website. Gotcha. And people were not exactly happy with this.
Mm-hmm.
So they took it off. But so they're calling it a leak, I guess, because it's because people caught wind of it.
Yeah. And just as you mentioned, like for me, as you've described it, I haven't literally done any research on this. As you describe it, it's definitely something that I would personally be very strongly against, because I am very much for less government control. Specifically like that, I think that is something that is definitely crossing not only personal boundaries, but legal boundaries and constitutional boundaries.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and like I said, I'm biased. I'll post full articles on my Twitter, Remy @RemySK1, Remy Stonetizer. Also, I might post some on our Republic Review, just so you can read it yourself. Because as I said, every human is biased. I'm biased, so I might have taken it. I might have read it a different way than what Alex is going to read it, or you might read it, or anybody. Does that make sense?
Sounds good. So I was actually online today. And so I've been hearing about, first I'm going to do some background. Russia's been working on a floating nuclear power plant. I believe it has multiple nuclear reactors in the power plant, not very large. In reality, it's not more powerful than our large aircraft carriers, because United States aircraft carriers have small nuclear power plants on board that power them, as well as power all the ships and the crews, and even the latest ones that power the electromagnetic launch mechanisms to launch the planes into the air. And so those are on board. However, there's been the, it's a floating Chernobyl. And this has been kind of pushed out there. Well, anyways, as all of this has been happening, there has been a explosion of a small nuclear reactor at a military test site in Russia last week. This has been kept under wraps. Citizens of even St. Petersburg, who are somewhat, you know, in Russia, I mean, not someone in Russia, but they citizens of St. Petersburg who are in Russia don't even fully know what's going on. It's been cloaked in secrecy. And so, and this has occurred off the coast of the White Sea in the northern Russia area. And so this is, according to certain American researchers and news reporters, they believe that it was actually related to a cruise missile that they were trying to develop that would be propelled by a nuclear drive. And so the explosion has killed at least 7 people, and it has multiple areas radiation readings have arisen. But there's very little information on the exact amount of deaths, exactly what has happened. Also, the same night of the accident, all television broadcasts or mini television broadcasts were down for extended periods of time, over 30 minutes. It's been an interesting Russia, I guess typical Russia cover everything up kind of thing, but because it's related again to another nuclear incident and the fact that, oh my goodness, they've just recently finished a floaty nuclear power plant, people are kind of up in arms about it.
And I know this is going to sound very strange of me to say, but a lot of it, if it's kept within the country and it's a nuclear power plant, I don't think there's really anything that restricts them from doing so. I mean, if it's for weapons of war, oh yes, we should, there should be something said, there should be some intervention, but honestly, if it's a nuclear power plant, Russia's its own country, let it do what it wants. If they want to screw themselves, let them screw themselves. And I'm the leftist here.
Yeah, it's definitely, and at this point, it's the missile testing, it's going to be interesting to see how this story develops. Personally, I think it's Russia likes to play fast and loose and aggressive. They don't have the main technology structures that we do in the United States. Mm-hmm. So because they have limited resources, a lot of times the way they can keep pace is they play with less safety rules. They take risks. Sometimes those risks backfire, and then they just cover them up and they keep going, because that's how they're able to stay a dominant world power. And I mean, to be realistic, they're probably still one of the top three powers in the U.S. I mean, in the world, with the U.S., China, and Russia pretty much standing there as a trifecta, which there's really, and if you're going to be realistic, I mean, there are multiple governments with nuclear powers, almost a dozen.
Oh yeah.
But then really there are three powers that control the majority of everything that's going on. And Russia is able to stay that way by paying fast, risky, and putting things on the line. So I'm not surprised that this has happened. It's unfortunate for the people living in Russia, but I don't think this is going to change anything in the future.
Oh yeah. Russia's been doing this stuff since the Cold War, and even today they do it. And honestly, if anyone's shocked and awed and surprised by this, in my opinion, they just haven't been paying attention. Turning to our main topic for today, gun violence. I'm going to kind of get into why we're talking about gun violence here. We're getting into it because as of today, it's August 12th. For anyone thinking we're uploading these the days they're made, obviously not. But in the past week, there have been 2 mass shootings, 3. There have been two and a potential third. Heck, even at my work today, somebody came in with a gun, started arguing with staff members about a pet ferret. We had a potential one about to happen right there. We just want to kind of get into our thoughts on the Second Amendment, our thoughts on gun control, and just everything about that. Maybe help come up with some solutions, come up with compromises on each side, kind of discuss what's going on. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
So Alex is going to talk about some court cases in the past about this topic, just what the Supreme Court has interpreted, because the judicial branch is the branch that interprets the law. So would you like to get into it?
Yeah. So one thing that when I see in the news and it kind of rubs me raw, I have a legal background. And so I understand that some people don't like the Supreme Court and some people don't like how the Constitution is being enacted. And so they're like, well, the Second Amendment only applies to the militia. And so when you turn to the Constitution, where it says in the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. A lot of the times the left, especially the news that is left-leaning, is going to focus in on that militia and the fact that the militia should be, that's what it's guaranteeing the right for to bear arms. It's not for the regular people. Well, the Supreme Court is what interprets our law and interprets the Constitution. I mean, you may hate that, but that's how it is in the United States. And because of that, the Supreme Court has interpreted in cases, especially recently, such as in the District of Columbia v. Heller in 2008, that an individual has the right to a handgun, and that you essentially, weapons that are in common use, like handguns, are protected by the Second Amendment, though it did allow for the fact that dangerous or unusual weapons could still be prohibited. But the key point that I want to focus in on that is not the specification of what weapon, but rather that that's an example of the fact that throughout Supreme Court history, such as in McDonald v. Chicago in 2010, the Heller case, or also even in states where it was not so favorable towards weapons, but United States v. Miller in 1939, all of these cases allow, and they just totally consider the fact just as law, that the Second Amendment does apply not to just a militia force, but to the regular individual citizen's right to bear arms, though that right has been constrained to be defined to certain weapons. Currently, U.S. citizens aren't allowed to have a tank, not allowed to have anti-aircraft machine guns, or even, you know, high-capacity, you know, military rocket launchers, things like that. There are limits. And so as these cases have established, you can't argue, at least you can't argue in a realistic sense, answers to the question about things such as the militia or things like that, when it's just not even likely to occur. So that's one thing we're going to be trying to do, is we're going to be looking at under the scope of the law and that understanding the law to be that as which the Supreme Court has interpreted the Constitution as being. As I conclude with that, Remy, have you heard of this phrase that's often thrown around by the right? A good guy with a gun is the only solution to a bad guy with a gun. What are your thoughts on that quote?
I personally think it's a very dumb quote. If the bad guy with the gun weren't able to receive the gun in the first place, then why would you need a good guy with a gun? So technically, you could argue the argument is invalid, because if the bad guy never had the gun in the first place, then why would the good guy need the gun to stop the bad guy? Does that make sense?
Yes. And my personal view on it is I think it's really simplifying things way too much and the only solution is the part that I have a problem with. I think that's a complete fallacy because I think there are solutions. I think armored police officers, more police officers, security checks in like such as when we see at airports in, you know, shows, those help tremendously. So I think there are solutions, though I want to let you understand that my personal view on the Second Amendment is that I believe the Second Amendment allows for the personal arming of yourselves. And my primary focus is on the fact that it is not for maybe personal self-defense, though I think that's part of it, but rather for defense against a tyranny, defense against the state, defense against the government. The United States was founded on the idea that if things got to the point where so bad that the U.S. government became like the United Kingdom or Britain was at the time when the revolution happened, that the people could rise up against the United States and overthrow the tyranny. That's what they wanted to allow. And if you take away our guns, take away our weapons, then you really prevent the people from being able to sacrifice their lives and overthrow a government. And that's part of what the Second Amendment is allowing for, is the ability to stand up against the government. And so that's a big foundation of what I believe the Second Amendment is for. I mean, what is kind of your views on where you stand on the Second Amendment?
Okay. So my opinion on the Second Amendment, I do think that people should be able to own guns. I think some guns are a bit unnecessary, such as an AR. I know it stands for, I think it's Armalite, or is it Aeronlite? I'm pretty sure Armalite rifle. The problem isn't the fact that it's a very dangerous rifle, or it's more dangerous than an assault rifle. It's an assault weapon, but not an assault rifle. The problem is you can jerry-rig it to shoot fully automatic and very easily. I could take one right now, jerry-rig it to shoot automatic. And there you go. I'm some guy who doesn't really use guns a lot, and I just got myself a fully automatic weapon. A lot of the arguments for the Second Amendment are we can defend ourselves against the government. I don't believe that for a second. They have carrier missiles. They have drones. What's your AR-15, even when you jerry-rig it to shoot fully automatic? What's it going to do against the tank? It's going to shoot a few bullets. It's going to bounce off. The tank's going to blow your brains out or your body out or just completely demolish you. They're going to drop missiles on you. They're going to shoot missiles at you, drop bombs on you. It's not going to do much when you're trying to fight the government. And I don't think the argument we can defend ourselves from the government is a viable one until you start allowing citizens to have the actual military grade fully automatic weapons that the government has in the military. Now that being said, I would not trust the average American citizen with a drone or a missile. I mean, would you, Alex?
People need to have an ability to at least put up a fight where they can't just be snuffed. And so I think if a state has to resort to literally dropping missiles on its own people, then I feel like that's a point where the world is going to take notice. Realize, you know what? This is not just a rebellion or a small fringe thing, but this is literally a fight for the country.
War.
And I think there's also the ability that to hit individual people, especially like guerrilla warfare, which is what it would most likely be, it's going to be very difficult with missiles without hitting a lot of friendlies and a lot of your own infrastructure. So it's going to be very difficult for them to use weapons. I think there should be, like, I struggle with some of the things like, should people have grenades? Should people be allowed to have, you know, fully automatic machine guns, you know, with 1,000 rounds of ammunition? Because there is the problem of a crazy person could get their hands off. Someone that's mentally off their rocker could just get it and cause such devastation. But yet I see the Second Amendment as being something that is supposed to allow us to stand up to tyranny. So it's can we find a balance? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that balance is handgun. I also don't think that balance is giving our residents intercontinental ballistic missiles. So I think it's neither one of those. I think it's somewhere in between. And I think having at least semi-automatic weapons, I mean, hunting rifles, is at the very minimum something that should be allowed, up to the fact that you start getting the fully automatic and grenades starts becoming an issue where maybe if you're in a certain profession, maybe if you've reached certain clearances.
Oh, yeah, and I can agree with that. If you have specific licenses to carry grenades, if you've been through all these tests, yeah, that's perfectly fine.
And so we've actually had some questions asked by some of our audience members that we've talked to. So we're going to get into some of that, and then we're going to talk about it, debate about it. And so that's what we're going to be doing for the next little bit. And of course, if you, any of you listeners have any other questions, feel free to contact Remy or myself and shoot us a question. We'd love to debate and talk about it on air. It's what we're here to do. And so, yes, the first question is actually this. What is the first realistic bill that could help curb gun violence? Also, what is the realistic end goal for preventing gun violence? And then what would both of your proposals be to reduce mass shooting? So why don't you kind of get us started, Remy?
All right. So a realistic bill that could help curb gun violence. Personally, I think we need to get rid of private sellers of firearms. I can walk into a thrift store and purchase any kind of gun I wish. I don't have to register it. I don't have to get a license. I don't have to take any kind of mental health exam. And this is the state of Indiana. This is a state law. I now legally own this weapon without any mental health evaluation, no background check, or anything of the sort. I think we need to ban private sellers or make a law if you have a gun, you have to register it within 24 hours of receiving it. 24 might be a bit unrealistic, maybe 48. You know what I mean? I also think we need to, I think it should be a national law, a federal law, rather than just a state law on this.
Hmm.
I think people do need to go through mental health evaluations before they are allowed to purchase it, before they are allowed to purchase a firearm of a certain caliber. Like somebody with a hunting rifle, like a bolt action rifle, more likely than not, they're probably just going to use it for hunting. If you have a bolt action rifle, you're not going to have an easy time shooting up a crowd. Somebody's probably going to tackle you by the time you get your second shot off. But when you start getting into more assault weapon-esque, when you get into assault weapons, you really, really need to start looking at the mental health of people. Because if you give it to a person with schizophrenia, and I'm not saying anything bad about people with schizophrenia, you can live a normal life, but a person with schizophrenia will more likely than not walk into a store shoot up the store. So mental health, I'd say background checks for a higher grade. Personally, I think it would be ideal to get rid of assault weapons, but assault weapons, I'll talk more about it later, but assault weapons are mainly just semi-auto, but you can start arguing hunting rifles when you go into assault weapons. Are they classified? I think the term's too messy. So yeah, mental health evaluations for anything above a certain extent. I'm not a professional. I can't tell you what a certain extent is. I don't know. I'm also not a psychologist. I can't tell you what mentally stable is. I think we should leave it to the professionals.
You want to know what the first realistic that could help curb gun violence?
Hmm?
I don't care who says what. There is no bill that can fix this problem. We have a problem in the United States. And that problem isn't going to get fixed quickly. However, I do have a bill that I would like to see passed. And I think it would help curb gun violence for sure in the future. If not necessarily gun violence, the deaths that occur from gun violence. I want to see gun safety training and education from middle school on up. I'm not saying we take kids out to the range and have them shoot firearms. I'm saying we take in rubber guns that have, and we teach kids how to hold a gun. We show kids videos on safety, on what happens if you don't do something safely, especially when you start to get to the high school. You know, you start doing driver training. Guess what you show kids? You show kids, oh, this is what happens when you drive drunk. This is what happens when you get shot. When you get in a car accident. Well, same thing. This is what happens when you mess around with a gun. You shoot yourself in the leg, shoot yourself in the stomach, you shoot your friend. So you teach them safety. You also teach them how to react in when there is a gun threat. So now you have students who know how to handle a gun, know how to dispose of ammo. They know what a gun sounds like. They know how to respond if a gun goes off. You're also fulfilling the Second Amendment because now you're teaching citizens, future citizens of the United States, how to use a weapon, which gives them the ability to resist the government if necessary, to resist tyranny. That fulfills the Second Amendment for me, and that is a huge thing. And so I think you've both fulfilled the Second Amendment and you've made it safer because you've given people not panic as much. Gunshot goes up. Oh, we know what we've been doing. We've been trained literally for 8 years of our life on what to do if a gun happens, 7, 8 years. And so I think that's a realistic bill that can come in. Now, what would be my proposal to reduce mass shootings? That's going to be more difficult, but I am huge on, I think we need to increase armor our officers, armor more of our higher tier police officers, more of our boots on the ground, security forces, whatever you want to say, especially at large major events. I am not opposed to having our police officers carrying weapons that have range to them. I've seen it in too many shootouts where in Las Vegas, for instance, the cops are trying to use a handgun to stop a guy with an AR. That's ridiculous. We need to have cops that have weapons that have a range. We need to have cops that have body armor. We need to have cops that are able to literally protect people. And so that's my second bill that I would like to pass. So the two prong, prepare for the future by educating, and then also armor our police so we can have a quick protection, a force that can protect us. And then, of course, mental health and things like that. Of course, I think, and I'll get into this actually more in my conclusion, but I think there's actually a severe problem with how our young men are raised and how the society is treating young men who are dealing with anger and struggling with certain emotions. And I think that there's some things that we really need to change about our society. Otherwise, we can try to educate people on gun safety. We can protect us with armored police, but we won't be able to truly fix a portion of our society without addressing some of our views on young men and their emotional state.
Here's another question that was brought up by another of our viewers.
Another one of our listeners.
Hey, they can watch our podcast technically. They'll be staring at a blank screen. But
hey, to all you viewers out there, you're dedicated.
Yeah. But number three, would banning guns in your view be effective? Take into account the cost of enforcing the ban, buying back the guns, the time, effort, risk involved from gun supporters who would be less than enthusiastic about giving up their guns. So would it be effective?
So I'm going to skip the entire, is this a good idea? And just get into, would this be effective? No. We would have a small, I don't think we'd have but we would have small groups that would rebel, and it would be, you take my gun over my dead body, and that's what they would do. They would take their gun over your dead body. So don't, if the government is going to take your guns, don't resist, just leave. I mean, if it does reach the point where it is truly a tyranny and things have gone across the nation that you truly feel like you're going to have to resist the government over your dead body, then I'm not going to tell you to just roll over and die. But I am going to say, be more careful than just if the government comes and is like, we want it, we know you have an assault rifle. I'm going to strongly recommend give them the assault rifle. Okay. I don't think it's worth dying over, but that's up to you. But that is the problem. It wouldn't be effective. You'd have enough deaths, enough blood on the government's hand, and enough hate from certain groups that it would just be a mess. Plus the fact is, you wouldn't get guns. I mean, literally, some guy would find an old shotgun in his apartment or in the garage or in the attic or whatever, and it's just gonna be a it's gonna be a mess. The better approach would be to try to limit ammunition, which isn't gonna stop anything in the short run. But that's the best approach for the left to take, is to, if they really want to try to limit weaponry, is to just literally just dry out the ammunition the best they can. People will still make their own ammunition, but it will limit the access to it.
I'd say I have around the same opinion as you on that. It's not practical. People are going to resist. There are too many guns already in the United States. I live in a redneck town, in a small farming town. I can walk down the street. I can probably acquire 10 guns just by walking down the street, just because of the sheer amount of guns that people own here. Most of them legal. Most of them legally. Most of the guns are legal, I can guarantee. It's just impractical. Yeah. And buying back the guns, that will hurt our that might actually hurt our economy a lot.
I don't even think it would be a buy. I don't think they'd try to buy it. If it actually came into effect, I think it would be just forcibly trying to take the gun.
It's just not a practical view. I mean, it's just not a practical thing. You can ban certain types of guns, but even then, it's going to be really hard.
Yeah. So then, who do you think should have guns? Who shouldn't? What factors or red flags would you look for guns from certain?
Well, I kind of touched on this before. Who should have guns? To be honest, as I said, stuff like bolt-action rifles, 9mm pistols. To be honest, if you have your average pistol license, that's fine. I don't think citizens should have assault weapons, assault rifles. I don't think they should have grenades either, but... the main group I say should have guns are the people who have passed mental health exams, people who have been through the process to acquire a guns license. I think that's perfectly fine. Red flags, obviously people, people who are saying they'll shoot up schools, and there are people who will. People who have diseases such as schizophrenia, definitely, they need to be checked out. I'm not saying prevent them from having guns. I'm saying do a little more research into them than the average person. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So for me, I think everyone should have the right to have a gun after they go through training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, training.
We have the right to freedom in the United States. I believe that includes the right to drive a car. However, you've got to get a driver's license. To leave the country, you're going to have to get a passport. There are certain things you have to do to enable your freedoms because you need to have the training. That has been established. I think the right to have a gun should be proportionate to the training, not cost. Training. That's why I think it should be something that's provided by school, provided in seminars. I think for someone to have a fully automatic machine gun, yeah, you're going to need to be in a cop. You're going to need to be private security that's been trained to the umpteenth level. But the regular person, after completing training provided to the high school, when you graduate, good standing with your diploma, then you'll be allowed to own a hunting rifle. You're allowed to own a handgun. I do not understand that you're 21 years old. You are not an adult in the United States of America when you turn 21. When you turn 18, you can serve in the military, you can serve in all these different things. When you turn 18, you should be allowed to have a handgun if you've completed your training. You should be allowed to have a rifle, a hunting rifle. I lean towards a semi-automatic weapon, a shotgun. Those types of things. Should you have a fully auto shotgun? No, I think you need to have another tier, another level of training. I'm not so much for the background checks, things like that, I think is a standalone thing. I think that should come through training. I also think that state management of this issue has gotten to the point where I'm more for state control on many things. But in terms of guns, I'm to the point now where I think it's a national issue. I also think it's just impractical because Chicago can, I mean, this argument's made by the right and the left. Chicago can say they're a gun-free zone, but people can still bring guns in for smuggling. I mean, I think it needs to be a national gun rules, gun laws, gun training, gun control. I'm not for gun control. I'm not even necessarily gun management, but I am for gun rules. I mean, there needs to be rules about guns. I mean, you can't shoot people with a gun. Like, that's a good rule. But I think also a good rule is that you need to have training that you need to go through or you can just go buy a gun. Of course, I'm flexible on this too. Like, if your dad owns a gun, can he take his son hunting? I think so. I think they can go hunting. I think that's fine. But I'm not so much a fan of, oh, you go literally to the store and you buy a gun and then you have to wait there while they run background checks for a week. I think that's infringing on something. So I think it needs to be something that's done beforehand. You're trained, you get your background check maybe done and all that's happening. But let's not focus on the background check. And honestly, I don't like the idea of diving into people's personal lives as much as the people that are doing the educating should fail those people who literally aren't taking it seriously or are literally like taking the gun and staring people down. Like, there's obviously a problem.
Well, when I said background checks and mental health evaluations, I meant more so to get a license, not to purchase a gun. Like, you're not going to do it every single time you buy a gun. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, just more so to get a license in order to buy one. So that makes more sense than what?
Yeah, no, and I'm just getting at the fact, I'm trying to emphasize the fact that my view on education for guns is nowhere near as strenuous as what people are ordering in gun control, because I don't want people on the right to be like, what are you talking about? You're advocating for gun control.
Yeah.
No, I'm not advocating for gun control whatsoever. I think there should be a minimum level of education that you should receive before you can just go buy whatever gun you want. Once you've received that education, oh, yeah, and as long as you don't get a criminal record, or because I think if you do get a criminal record for certain things, I think you should lose your rights to have a gun. You get a criminal record for shooting someone, you should never be allowed to own a gun the rest of your life. Period. That's my opinion. If you have I also think that for certain suicide issues as well, if someone, especially if it is with a gun, attempted suicide or caught waving a gun around saying they're going to commit suicide. Yeah, no. There's obviously a mental problem. No more gun. But unless that happens, you do have an inherent right to a gun by the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America that allows you to have a gun to resist tyranny. So that's where I stand on who should have guns.
This is another question that was brought up. What about religion's impact on the mass shooting problem? What do you think religion would do?
So I think we have a problem in our society that young men are often, they often express anger. They often get frustrated. Young boys fight, young boys wrestle. That's how they express a lot of emotion. Today's society is somewhat against that. Like, it's okay to cry. It's okay to be effeminate, which I believe is destroying this country, destroying our young men. And so they say it's okay to be effeminate. It's okay to like other boys. It's okay to, you know, cry and dress in a dress and wear makeup and all this other stuff that I think's got a severe problem for our youth, because they're getting this, you can be like a girl. But the thing is, guys and girls are different. And that's something I truly believe, is they're different. But yet, when a boy expresses anger, when a boy punches another boy, when a boy fights him and just really is angry, then they're like, no, bad, stop. What do you do? Boys have anger. Men have anger. But the thing is, when you're repressing and you can't express, yes, some men can cry, but I don't think that's the majority. Some women get angry, but the majority are different. Women are different than men. And I believe our young boys right now are pushing stuff in, and they become angsty teens dealing with emotions, can't lash out. And so guess what? People point at video games. Video games is a symptom. It's not the cause. Kids can't hardly lash out in violence in any way in society. Some through sports. I played football growing up. Boy, is that therapeutic. I still play football. I play for old men leagues and wander on the fields. I mean, after college, I never stopped because it is literally the biggest therapy in the world. You're angry and you go out there and you slam into people, rip them to the ground, and you literally try to human destroy them. That's your mindset. Of course, you don't, but that's what you're doing. That is so therapeutic to get rid of anger. Like, for the next week, literally, nothing ticks you off except for the left. I'm kind of kidding, but kind of not actually. It builds up this anger, and then they're stuck snapping. And I think that's kind of the social impact. And so religion is stuck in a difficult spot of often trying to follow the PC politically correct movement. And that's like, I go to a very conservative church in terms of very traditional conservative church, because I don't want a church that is going to modernize a message. I want a church that is tell people when they've screwed up, tell people when they've sinned, because God is not just a happy, loving God. God is justice. God has wrath. God will destroy those in the end who do not follow. He will send them to hell. Well, they will burn forever, where his face will not shine down on them, and there will be a complete absence of anything good for eternity. And that's the message that needs to be preached, not the, oh, you can be happy and lovey, because it's not, and that this world's an amazing place. It's not. This world's screwed up. People are screwed up. There's anger, there's frustration. God's going to wipe it, purge it all clean. And so I think that's kind of, churches don't need to not shy away from crappy parts of the world. And society needs to stop being so PC and so effeminate with their young men. So, Remy, what are your thoughts on this?
I personally don't think it has much of an impact. Most people who do end up causing mass shootings, most people who are able to kill, usually have some form of a mental illness. They have a There's a reason why they cannot see what's wrong in what they're doing. And I don't believe any amount of religion, any amount of showing them this, will prevent anything. Sure, you can preach the gospel, and I'm a Christian man. I believe in the gospel. But I don't believe that a person who doesn't think clearly will be able to process the gospel correctly. So no matter what we do with religion, if we teach it in schools, if we teach the person it, it won't change anything in the end. It'll be the same as it is today. And while people are talking, oh, just teach more religion, just teach more religion, kids will just keep dying and just keep dying. I sort of agree with your whole, when you got into the whole boys, feminine-esque quality traits and qualities, I sort of agree, but I mostly disagree. I think it's fine for a boy to cry. I think it's fine for a guy to be into feminine things, but I don't think we should discourage roughhousing. Like you, actually, that's how Alex and I met. We were on the same college football team. I need to vent my frustration out in physical violence sometimes. It's the reason I had to take up self-defense, because I just can't sit down and channel through this. I did football. When I was in football, I had a great time, because if I was frustrated, I had a college paper. I didn't think the professor graded me fairly. I just take it out on the guy across from me who I'm supposed to. That being said, I do think it's fine for guys to cry. I think it's fine for guys to be into feminine things. Why not? Because I don't think it hurts them in the long run. I think, in all honesty, it helps. If you only learn to vent it out in violent means, then that can be very bad for your mental health. That can make you a very violent person in the long run. It could make you very suicidal. It can do a lot of stuff. So I think a mixture of the two is perfectly fine when you're going into the societal. But when you go into religion, I don't think it matters.
So now to wrap this up, why don't you give us kind of your personal vision regarding gun violence?
Okay. In gun violence, I've already covered a lot of what I believe is the solution, but I'm going to just talk about one thing I've been hearing a lot. People have been saying left and right, it's not a gun problem. It's not a gun problem. It's a societal problem. It's a societal problem. Sure. Argue that all you want, but it may be a societal problem. It might not be a gun problem. But the thing about that is, the more you argue this, the more you bring it up, the less gets done. The more people die. So a mass shooting happens, then the right, and I'm saying the right because I've been only seeing this argument from the right. The left could be making this argument too, but I have yet to see it. They say it's a societal problem. Well, you can just argue that. Okay? The last two shootings, societal problem. The shootings in 2012, it's a societal problem. Nothing happened. Guess what? It happens again. It happens again. It happens again. The more we blame society, the more we don't do anything about this, the more we argue and ponder whose fault it is, the more people die. And I don't like that. Nobody likes that. We don't want people dying. We need to actually do something. And that's why I propose more rules, regulations on mental health, on background checks. And I do like Alex's idea of training children. Teach them that a gun's not a toy. If you shoot something, there are serious repercussions. Each person has one life. You're not the person who should be the one to decide when their life ends. That's, in my opinion, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. It's disgusting. It's pathetic. It's stupid. A person thinking they have the right to take a life of another. Now, there are obvious exceptions. Self-defense. If somebody's attacking your family member and you take that person's life to protect, yeah, that's fine. In the military, you're in a different mindset. I'm not going to blame a soldier for taking a life, obviously. It's different scenarios, but yeah, what I'm getting into this is, the more we just talk about it, the more we do nothing, the more people are going to die. If we had made more restrictions instead of making guns easier to obtain in 2017 under a law passed under the Trump administration, maybe these people in Dayton, Ohio would be alive. Maybe these people in El Paso, Texas would be alive. I mean, it's a hypothetical, of course, but it's going to stay in hypothetical. We need to do something about this, not just talk about, oh, it's a societal problem, because nothing's getting done. Think about it this way. There's car wrecks. What do? We put in stations to check and see if people are drinking and driving. We put more restrictions on the cars. We put more restrictions on getting a license. Hell, in Indiana, you can't even acquire a license. You can't drive with another person in the car until you're 21 years of age, which was passed in 2015, I believe. What happens after 9/11? A bunch of people died in the plane wreck. Guess what happened? Now the IRS is all over you, the NSA. You can't have a certain amount of liquid into an airplane. You have to be, you don't have to be background checked. They look at your luggage and you're just examined thoroughly. Now, mass shooting happens. Guess what happens? It's a societal problem. Nothing gets done. And that's my whole personal conclusion right there. You can say it's a societal problem all you want. Nothing's ever going to get done the more you argue that.
Selfishness leads to jealousy. Jealousy leads to hate, and hate leads to violence. Here in America, hate-fueled violence often leads to gun violence. Video games are not the cause of gun violence, but rather they are a symptom of the gun violence that is affecting American society, our American people, our American youth, causing lives to be lost. Mental illness is a problem. It forcing young men to repress their anger is a problem. And our modern society clearly is contributing to this problem. The Second Amendment is not the problem. But I want to make this very clear to everyone listening. The Second Amendment is not our salvation. The Second Amendment is not going to save us from gun violence. The Second Amendment is not the problem, though. Rather, as I have elaborated, the problem is the fact that we have young men, primarily, who have this anger inside, cannot express it, who have mental health issues, who snap, take a weapon. Here in the United States, we have the constitutional right to bear arms. Therefore, we are going to have guns here in the United States. Getting rid of guns, controlling guns, is not going to solve the problem. Rather, educating our young people, educating them mental health, educating them in gun safety, how to prepare, how to avoid, how to evacuate when a dangerous situation occurs. Those are some of the steps that we can take that will help to reduce this problem. The problem is this is a broken, screwed up world. People that think the United States is a utopia are wrong. Who are wrong? The United States is not a utopia. The United States is screwed up. Yeah, it's probably one of the greatest countries that have ever existed, but it's still screwed up. Our salvation is not the Second Amendment. Our salvation is not in education. Yeah, education can help here on this earth. Our salvation is going to be a personal life change, a heart change. That can occur, of course, through a turning to Christ, understanding of, oh, you know, Scripture tells me to do this, a following after Jesus Christ and what the Scripture says. That can occur. But even if you're not a believer, you can also follow the golden rule of do unto others as you would want people to do unto you. You can follow the idea that you care about the person next to you, that we're all in this together. You can be a good neighbor. Those are the things that we need to latch onto. Rather, we are a selfish. And as I have already said, when you are selfish and you care only for yourself, you become jealous of what others have. That jealousy then can quickly turn to hate. And then hate is only one step away.
Please, if you have any questions about anything we've spoken about, feel free to contact us at Twitter at @review_republic, or you can contact me at RemySK1, or
yeah, and I'm reachable on Twitter at @AW_Alex.
Our next episode is going to be about transgenderism, maybe gay marriage, possibly. We're also going to have a guest. Yeah. It'll be our first guest. We are very excited.
Should be good. We're also going to be launching between then and there, because it might be 2 weeks that launches. And so we'll, of course, have some Alex and Remy unedited. We only have 2 more episodes this season for this full Republic Review show. So episode 7 and episode 8, and those are going to be, of course, episode 7 will be on transgender, and then episode 8 will be our season finale, and would be on what would you change about the U.S. government structure.
Please ask us as many questions as possible, if you like, and just give us some feedback. Here's something you like, here's something you don't like, feel free to just message us. Criticism's good.
Yeah, and of course, feel free to also visit our website, republicreviewpost.wordpress.com. And that is our website, our blog, post articles there occasionally, me and Remy. We're also working on getting a few other writers. If you would like to be a writer for the blog, feel free to contact us. And you can submit a demo piece. Once you contact us, we'll ask you to submit a demo piece. We'll look that over. And if we think that it's an acceptable level of what we want to put on our website, because what we want to put is honest, clearly written, not necessarily unbiased.
Oh yeah,
but not incorrectly informed. We are trying to avoid the fake news in a fake news era. And so if you would like that, of course, feel free to get in touch with us. So anyways, this has been the Republic Review podcast. We thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a great rest of your
day. Bye.